Today we want to look at 1 John again. Pastor Joe and I will be working our way through that the rest of the month here, and so we're excited about that. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2 today. I want to just share a bit of a story. Living now here in the Edmonton area for quite a while, I've become a bit of an Oilers fan. How many of you are Edmonton Oilers fans? Maybe? Oh, I thought it would be a little more raucous about that today. I've kind of jumped on the bandwagon, if you will. Jumped on the bandwagon, that's right. And so I want to just share with you a couple of my friends here. You guys ever seen them before? William Gronkowski and Colin McDougal, right? Oilers never won a championship. Still haven't made the playoffs for 17 years. You know, it's been a while, but they're trying hard. There's some legends around, but they're... How many of you are thinking, that's not right? If you're from Edmonton, you kind of know who these guys are. If you're a Canadian, you probably know who these guys are, if you follow hockey at all. Who are they? Let's start with the legend first, right? Who's that? Anyone? Wayne Gretzky, right? Has anybody ever heard of this young man? Connor McDavid. So if you were to call yourself an Oilers fan, but you didn't know who these guys were, what would you say to Pastor Craig about my bandwagon jumping? You got to figure out the stories, buddy. There's a debate with our city council in Edmonton to still call the city of champions because of how many championships these guys have won. Mostly the guy on the right here, not the other guy. And if you lived in the area recently, you know that the Oilers made the playoffs for the first time in a long time this year. Was it 10 years? 11? 11 years? 11, yeah, people know. You know the stories. If you're an Edmonton Oilers fan or if you live in the area, you know the story. And that has a huge implication for what we're looking at today in 1 John chapter 2. You see, John wants us to walk as Jesus walked. If you know him, you're going to know the stories and you're going to walk like him. If you're an Oilers fan, you know who those guys are. You know they made the playoffs for the first time in 11 years. You know how many Stanley Cups they've won and how long it's been since they made the playoffs. If you know him, you're going to walk as he walked. You're going to know the stories. You're going to know what's in here. The Holy Bible. See, that's the crux of what John wants to talk to us about today. And if that's true, where are all the little Jesuses? Walk as Jesus walked. I've seen flags on all kinds of things for the Oilers. I've seen jerseys. I've seen t-shirts. I've seen sweaters. There's tattoos and trucks, the whole thing. Because we're so obsessed with our hockey team. Friends, how much more if we claim to know him and we're supposed to walk like him, where are all the little Jesuses? You see, Christian means Christ-like, little Christ. Obviously, there's a big C Christ, and nobody can completely be like him. But John says, I've seen him. I've walked with him. I've eaten with him. I've listened to him. I've walked the beaches of Galilee with him. And I want to pass this on to you. And because it's God's word, it's living and active for today. That real people right here, right now, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, can be like Jesus. They can actually walk like Jesus. We can be like little Jesuses. Where are they? Where are they? See, what keeps us from that? Well, there's one side of things, pride. And really, John's addressing that in this book. There's a group of people at the time that he wrote this letter who are claiming to know God and at the same time say, I have no sin. I don't need the Bible. I don't have to look like Jesus with my life, but I know him. Friends, he's dealing with a proud group of people that's trying to destroy the churches that he has led. He's led all kinds of churches, in the ancient Near East. And this proud group is trying to undermine and destroy what he's doing because of their pride and their blindness. And the flip side of that is the lack of assurance. The people in his church are starting to struggle with the assurance that they, okay, if those guys claim to know him, but their lives look like that, and they're saying this, and they're going this way, there's no way, like, I must be wrong. Friends, there's pride, but there's also lack of assurance. Do I really know him? Am I really like him? Can I really walk like Jesus walked? Is that really true? Well, we want to look at that this morning. Please turn with me to 1 John 2:1-6. We're going to look at that before we enjoy the communion table together this morning. And hear the heart of a pastor, hear the heart of a man who loves his church, loves his people, loves his friends. He's aware of this attack that's going on, coming in, infecting and affecting their lives. And he's laid some important things out in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, listen to the words of tenderness here. And it's not meant to be demeaning, but tender. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him. See, there's that assurance piece. If we keep his commandments, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk, here it is, walk in the same way in which he walked. These are powerful words. John's a tender pastor, but he's not mincing the truth at all here. It's kind of like what you would say to me if I claimed to be an Oilers fan. You don't know the story. You don't know who that is. How can you claim to be an Oilers fan? You must know the story. You must walk and have the jerseys and the flags and all of these things. Friends, how much more Jesus? How much more Jesus? We must keep his commands. We must walk like him. I want you to see the word advocate here. We don't have time to unpack the whole depths of these words here. But the word advocate in this passage is so important. And I don't know about you, but my mind goes right to a legal thing. But it's not as transactional as that is when John's saying here that Jesus Christ is your advocate. He pleads and he discusses on your behalf. He's there, standing, discussing in the courtroom of heaven. See, the enemy wants to accuse you and undermine you and take you out of the presence of God Almighty. But the advocate, Jesus the Christ, is standing before the Father, pleading your case. His blood that we're going to celebrate this morning pleads your case. And if you're covered in the blood of Christ as your Savior, you're set free. You can run out of the courtroom free because Jesus is your advocate. Amen? That's good news today. In Pastor John's few words here, I want you to see the word advocate, because Jesus the Christ is your advocate. He also says that you will be given another type of advocate here on the earth, the Holy Spirit. He's with us on Jesus' behalf on earth. So we have an advocate in heaven. We have an advocate with us, the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is an amazing reality. The second thing that I want you to see is the word atonement. And that's found in verse 2. We don't usually use this word very often. Propitiation. Say that 10 times fast and say it to your neighbor. Right? We don't say that. Propitiation. But it means atonement. It means that you and I deserve wrath, death, judgment, forever separation from God the Father because of the sin in our life. But we sang about it already this morning. The amazing grace of God is that God is merciful. He wants to then, because of his mercy, he then acts on his mercy and he sends his son to stand in your place, to take on the judgment. Not only does he think to himself, I will be merciful, but he acts mercifully by sending his son. There's an action that goes with it, and he stands in your place. The punishment that you deserved has been paid by Jesus. He's taking care of the sins that you have committed, that you will commit, and will keep on committing. And so part of John's impassioned plea here is that if people are claiming they don't have sin, they're missing the depths of the atonement and sacrifice of Jesus. Because human beings, for their whole lives, need an atonement. They need somebody standing in their place. And his name is Jesus. Essentially, the word propitiation means a sacrifice made so that wrath and judgment turns to favor and forgiveness. The eternal holy God, now because of the propitiation and atonement of Jesus, now sees you with favor and forgiveness. And so to claim to have no sin means that you don't get to savor and enjoy that the same way. Because you're too proud and you don't need that for some reason. But that's not the truth. The truth is, you need Jesus the Christ. The atonement that was made was so powerful. We see in verse 2 that it says it's efficient for the whole world. And at the same time, we must receive it. As we heard the testimonies this morning, we must say we need it. We must admit our weakness and our need for him and depend on his great grace for us. The last thing that I want you to see is aim. There's a sense here about the whole walk of life. And today I want to ask you the question, what's the aim of your life? If the aim of your life is to continue in sin, continue in pride, to continue in your own ways and sprinkle a little Jesus on top, it's kind of like being that bandwagon jumper. The part-time fan. Friends, Jesus doesn't want any part-time fans. He wants you all in, all the time, the aim of your life, him, now and forever. And he knows at the same time, John is saying, there will be times that you sin. However, you have an advocate. You have atonement. So walk like Jesus walked. This is possible for human beings because of the atonement and the advocacy of Jesus the Christ for us. So we're living this ongoing life of salvation, working itself out in the here and now. We will sin. That's okay, because we have an advocate and he's made atonement for us. And so the aim of our life is to walk like Jesus walked. What does it look like? Well, I like to draw pictures to help me understand things. Okay. Pastor John here is saying, church, walk like Jesus walked. And you're probably saying, well, that's all good. That's nice, Pastor John. However, I know for sure I will sin. So maybe I made this just for myself. But I know this is going to happen. So I humbly admit that. I know sin is going to happen in my life. It's in my life. And so the aim of my life is to keep walking like Jesus walked. But when I fall, I go somewhere with it. I go to the advocate. I go to Jesus. Friends, I want you to see this pattern for your own life. Walk as Jesus walked. When you stub your toe, you make a mistake, you whatever it might be, you go to the advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you keep walking as Jesus walked because he is pleading your case. He stands on your behalf. He is merciful for you. And it's all right at the center of it all is favor and forgiveness. Is this the aim, the character, the understanding that you have of how God sees you? One of the most important things that we'll ever get in this life is to battle through, work through how God the Father now sees you because of Jesus the Christ. Do you know that God, if you've put your faith in Jesus, he now sees you with the favor, the fullness of divine favors on your life? And when you do sin, he wants you to run to him again, admitting it, and then walk like Jesus walked. And so it's this cycle that we walk in. We live in this cycle. Not like the proud who say, I have no sin. But going to the advocate, finding favor and forgiveness in God. Walk like Jesus walked. Walk like Jesus walked. Walk like Jesus walked. That seems like an impossible task. When I think about that, that seems like a crushing blow. However, he's made all of the provisions for us to do that. And his favor is raining on us. Imagine if the urgent and ongoing aim, think about this, when you think about your walk and the aim of your daily walk, imagine if the urgent and ongoing aim of all our hours, so not just Sundays or small group time or whatever it might be, was constantly Christ and Christ alone. Not just my hope is found, my life is found. My words are found. My thoughts are found. My heart is found. My thumbs are found. My feet are found. My body is found. My soul is found in Christ alone. That's the tall order that John is putting before us today. And the assurance that we have is found that Jesus is our advocate, our favor, and our forgiveness, our atonement.